This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Row One Seat One podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. We have a fun show this week. We have Dan Scotty from Pizza Party Wrestling on. I want to talk a little bit about my week. I went up to Bizarro Lucha in Indianapolis. That was about six and a half hours each way. I think I'm learning my lesson, guys. These long trips, making them by myself, are just a little prohibitive. And I don't sleep well in hotels, and I think that was a lot of the problem, too. So it turned into what was a 12-hour trip turned into like an 18-hour trip because I just couldn't sleep. But the show itself, if you guys are in the Indianapolis area, Bizarro Lucha is a really, really, really fun time. I made the analogy that if Southern Underground Pro is like going to a show run by the kids of the punk and hardcore table, Bizarro Lucha is going to a show put on by the kids of the comic book table. And both of those shows are super cool. And it just was a really fun time. I met Mike Quackenbush, which is, I mean, should be on everyone's bucket list. He had a really, really fun match with Billy Rock, who has trained all of your favorite wrestlers, if Mike Quackenbush hasn't trained all of your favorite wrestlers. So between the two of them, they've trained like literally like dozens upon dozens of all of your favorite wrestlers. So it was it was like a 400-level class in just like grapple fuck, basically. It was a fantastic match. Some crazy matches out there, you know, just a lot of fun. Indianapolis is a fun city. Really cool crew out there too. The people in the Midwestern, you know, scene are just, you know, if they talk about Midwestern hospitality, but it really is true. Everyone there was so chill and so much fun and just good people. So if you are in Indianapolis, get a chance to go to a Bizarro show. I talk about Southern Underground Pro. It's a really similar vibe. It may even be a little more, you know, gaga fun than Southern Underground Pro. Really get a chance to go to Bizarro Lucha because it is an absolute blast. But this week we have Dan Scotty on. Dan, sorry for the filibuster, but you also run a very, very fun show yourself, don't you, my friend?
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. I run Pizza Party Wrestling to be named in that company with Southern Underground Pro and Bizarro Lucha is pretty cool, especially like in our infant stages here. But yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm glad you were at our first show too.
You run a literal party.
Yeah, yeah. There's pizza, there's partying, and there's wrestling. So it's a good time.
Yeah, I found out about you guys. You guys ran your first show WrestleMania weekend, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But you have a kind of an interesting background in wrestling. You know, I always ask this question, but what gave you the bug in professional wrestling? What made you fall in love?
I love telling this story to people because when I was watching wrestling for the first time, I never thought that this would like be a story I'd get to tell people. But I had never really seen wrestling. The extent to which I knew about pro wrestling up until 2006 was that Stone Cold was on ice cream bars and that they used steel chairs sometimes. But I was at a friend's house on a Friday night, and somebody was like, "We have to watch SmackDown tonight. The Boogeyman is wrestling."
That's amazing.
And I watched the Boogeyman win a handicap match against the Dicks, and I was pretty much in. I didn't know how to watch wrestling at that time, so I'd only watch it with this one person who now, to my knowledge, hasn't watched wrestling probably since he showed me wrestling. I watched a Saturday Night's main event where Stone Cold had a beer drinking competition against JBL, and I saw Mick Foley do stuff, and then I was hooked. Like, I threw on the Raw after WrestleMania 22, and my parents were really disappointed that was what I chose to put on, but here I am 13 years later.
So the Boogeyman made you fall in love with wrestling?
Yeah, yeah.
You're a direct descendant of the Boogeyman and the Dicks.
Yeah, and it's really weird that was what pulled me in, but at the same time, if you know what kind of wrestling I like. It makes a lot of sense.
Now, you went from there, basically, to, and I'm fast-forwarding, but did you want to do wrestling at that point? Or, I mean,
pretty much
where did your progression go from there?
Pretty much the minute I saw wrestling, I wanted to do wrestling. It felt like it was like a key unlocking for myself, because I never knew where or what I wanted to do or be. And then I saw wrestling, and I was like, this is the only thing I could do. And if you watch my college trajectory, I changed my major a whole bunch of times and ended up finishing and getting out. But really, like, at the end of the day, I think in the back of my mind, it was like, okay, but how do I get to wrestling?
So at what point did you start, you know, because we all had those times where we start messing around in the backyard and, you know, we all start playing with our friends and stuff like that. First of all, like, you say 2006, did you catch on to it late or are you just very young?
I'm 25, so
okay,
I guess
sure.
It's around the time people, like, you know, like 12, 13 is
sure,
when people
yeah.
start
mm-hmm.
really getting into it. That was what it was for me. I didn't have, you know,
well,
my
well,
parents.
I was three, but I'm weird.
You're a second generation fan, though, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't have that. In fact, I had the whatever the opposite of that is. And so I started doing backyard stuff with friends that was like absolutely the worst thing you could possibly ever see. In like 2007, and I, instead of finding indie wrestling, I found other backyard wrestling on YouTube and like started following this thing called the Backyard Wrestling Link that probably a ton of your favorite wrestlers were a part of. And just like they had like a forum, and I lurked the forum like it was nobody's business, and I watched these music videos that these guys made like over and over and over again. And like, yeah, to the point where, like, I talk to a lot of my friends now, and they're talking about, like, 2000, you know, 2005, 2006 Ring of Honor, and I'm like, oh, yeah, but I was watching all this backyard wrestling, because there's media from people all over the world. There's tons of, like, small things all over the world, but everything sort of intersected through the internet. So I had access to all this content that I just poured over for, like, years.
Yeah, Tony Deppen talked a little bit about it on the show a few weeks ago, where he just basically said, you know, him and Dan McCabe and Alex Zane and basically everyone you've ever heard of was part of this backyard wrestling link, and Drew Cordero was the major domo of it, basically, and they had shows all over the East Coast and all over the world, and, you know, Australia and Canada and all this sort of stuff. Now, you're discovering this in 2006, 2007. Are you going to the shows?
No, I wasn't like, there was no way I was going to be able to get to anything like that. I mean, it was all around me, but mm-hmm. no way I could have said to my parents at that time, hey, I'm going to go do this wrestling thing. And it wasn't until like 2011 that I guess it might have been a little bit earlier. I started talking to Matt DeMorest online here and there, and eventually at one point he offered to train me and my parents shut it down. So then I like kind of stopped watching backyard wrestling and just watched, you know, like WWE, and that's what was all I was consuming. And then like in 2015, I started watching it again and started messaging Matt DeMorest again and was like, oh, I would like to just like wrestle one more time because I feel like I've missed the boat with wrestling. And that led me to just finding different backyard wrestling stuff that I hadn't watched, but there's this incredible by no means is it like tasteful by today's standards, but there was this incredible series called Grapgasm that it was like a 20 episode arc and just a bunch of guys hanging out doing like tapings on this huge base. So it wasn't a ring, it was just like tires and mattresses and
it's amazing.
But like it was super springy and they do all this crazy stuff. And then they also did this other show called NYE, the New York Extravaganza, which is like the spiritual successor to what Drew Rand called BYE. And
anyone we've heard of in this, or
at the NYEs, a lot of pizza party guys.
Okay.
Alex Zane was Brad Rush was part of like the original like Kentucky people that came up there. Matthew Alon, who was on our show. Our last show was from that scene as well. And it was just basically like a big hangout. And they progressed through the years. And I, like, you watch them and they're just so fun. Like the last one actually had people from England on it. So Sam Jude, who was on our first show, actually flew out. Yeah, he was like 18 years old, and he flew out to wrestle in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We had this world title belt that he won at like 17. So like this belt that we had that people like were obsessed with, this dude from England won. So it became like an actual world title. Yeah, it was pretty wild. And then so like the NYE series sort of stopped, and the scene was sort of on its dying legs. And that's actually when I showed up in backyard wrestling. I showed up in 2015, and just wanted to be part of it because these videos looked so much fun, and it was like always what I wanted my backyard wrestling experience to be. And I think I came in at the right time because people stopped giving a shit. So like I went to a show, and it was a lot like the territory, like the older days in wrestling, where it was like very hard to break in, and if you were new, like you'd kind of get shit on, and they like wasn't really open to letting new people in. And I went to a show, and like that somebody wanted another segment in something for a promo, and I was like, oh, I'll do a promo. And they're like, we don't even know if this guy can bump, like we don't know anything about him. And I told this guy, I was like, you should just headbutt me, and I'll talk shit, you come out and headbutt me. And he was like, okay, I guess. And nobody really knew what to expect from me. I cut this promo, and I ate this headbutt, got like knocked out, stood back up, because I was like, well, he told me he was going to lariat me after, so I have to get back up. And he hit me with a lariat, and then after that, I think everybody was like, this kid's crazy. And I kind of earned everybody's respect, and within a few months was like booking shows, and it was pretty weird, but the scene was kind of dying, so it was easy for me to like assert myself as a guy who was like running shows.
Now, you knew about independent wrestling going on simultaneously, right? Was it just the backyard appealed more to you, or was it just this kind of community that like, what was it about backyard wrestling that made you fall in love?
I think one, it was like the accessibility. I think if I knew how to find indie wrestling, I think I probably would have watched that too. But the only alternative I knew about Impact, and I just chose not to watch it.
Sure. As we all have, frankly.
Yeah. And so I think it was just easier for me, and this was more relatable to me because like it was something I had done and always wanted to do. So it was something that I always like could sit there and be like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I was there too? And you know, I ended up as part of the community. I became friends with a bunch of people, and I ran my first show in 2016. It was called Yardi Gras.
Yardi Gras?
Yeah, and it was on a base. We made a base, and my dad was renting a house in the Hamptons, so we're just on a tennis court backyard show. Yeah.
And it in was, the Hamptons. I can just imagine the reaction of the people from the Hamptons.
Yeah, yeah. My dad had friends over, and they were, like, watching us wrestle, and I took a couple bumps, and they were like, oh, my God, he has to be dead. There's no way he's still alive.
He's snooty white people, dad, just mortified as hell.
Yeah, my dad's sitting there. He's like, no, he's fine. I can tell. And I'm like, all right, my dad knows. So, yeah, that's – and then the scene kind of died, and I'd always said that it would have been stupid of us to have not all had this chemistry together and all have like done crazy shit with one another and for the world to not see it. Like there's no reason why we couldn't all just regroup at a professional level and do sort of exactly what we were doing before, but turn up the intensity a little bit and, you know, get serious about it and see where we could take it.
So was that the genesis of Pizza Party, or were you, how many backyard shows did you run?
You know, I don't even know. It got to a point where, like, people just sort of asked me to help them run their shows. Like, there were things called, like, super shows. And then there were, like, I guess we call them, like, home feds is what they were. Like, while I was still there, like, each state sort of had, like, one or two places where people would go wrestle. And, like, that was sort of on a monthly basis. And then, like, three, four times a year, there was a super show where, like, people from England were coming out, people from Kentucky. Sometimes the Canadian guys would come down. So there was always like big shows that were like 3 days long with like 15 matches every day, pretty much from like noon to midnight, just people wrestling.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the monthly stuff, like I would help out with other people because like I think I just cared like a shit ton about, you know, putting matches together and booking stuff, and I think people saw it and were like, well, if he gives a shit, I don't have to. So I think that's how I sort of just ended up booking everywhere while the scene was dying.
So you just, in the dying days of backyard wrestling, you became like a Drew Cordero figure, basically.
Yeah, I guess to say that is wild for me to even consider, but I guess so, yeah. I guess I can't say that backyard wrestling is dead because there's still places that do it. It's just our, like, the run and era of guys I guess, for lack of a better term, came up with, they're all sort of done and away from it now for the most part.
And you're in Jersey, so, like, are you there? Jersey was a pretty fertile ground for a long time for independents. Are you aware of these independents? Are you going to independents simultaneously? Are you aware of the indie guys? Because, I mean, like, you know, Ring of Honor's running Jersey and New York all the time. You know, CCW's around there all the time. I mean, there's all sorts of Jersey All Pros around all the time. Are these not even on your radar, or are you just so dedicated to backyard that it's just like, this is my world?
Jersey All Pro definitely was on my radar. It's not something I ever got to go to, because for the most part of my, like, early wrestling fandom, I had, like, it was enough for me to get my parents to take me to a WWE show, so it was hard for me to say, like, hey, go.
Fat Frank's running this show. Come to the day, let me go.
Yeah, and I think WWE ran New Jersey so many times, or like New York, so that, like, there was always a way for me to get to, like, a show a year, and for me, like, that was always good. Because mm-hmm. And even now, like, I went to WrestleMania this year,
yeah,
and I've sort of told myself I don't think I could go back to, like, a big arena show like that ever again. Like, it's just really? it's too big. There's the ring is so far away, and I guess now that I've gotten a taste of, like, independent wrestling, it's hard for me to want to go be, like, sit so far away from what's happening.
That makes sense.
I think that, yeah, that intimacy is, and I guess maybe that's what about backyard wrestling I liked, is that it was so, like, you know, there you couldn't be 30 rows back. You're literally right on top of everything that's happening.
Now, who are some of the, you know, now you said you took a headbutt and you cut a promo and stuff like that. Did you have a character?
Yeah, I guess. My character, like, where I thought I was going to end up when I started doing it and to where I ended up when I, like, stopped doing it was very different from what I could have imagined. I always liked being a heel, or, like, the idea of being a heel. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just be this dastardly heel manager type, I guess, and I ended up sort of becoming a comedy wrestler out of it, and it was a lot of fun to do, because I got to a point where I could, like, go to a 3-day super show, and I could wrestle 3 matches, and I could take 3 bumps, but do things that, you know, like, made people laugh, and that was a ton of fun.
These 3-day super show, I mean, this just, like, fascinates. This sounds like absolute heaven.
It was always heaven going in, and by day 3, you were like, okay, we don't need to have 12 matches today. Like, I usually, by the time I left a super show, was like, okay, it's a good thing there's not another one for, like, 6 months, because I need a break.
Well, I'm the type of sicko who, like, every Mania year, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to 4 shows this day, 5 shows this day, you know, we're going to do this, even though, like, my body is telling me, like, you can't handle this. Like, I just spend the next month regretting it, like, profusely.
I didn't go to enough shows Mania week. I really wanted to go to more, but my job, I just started a job at that time, and
oh, yeah,
I was not going to get the time that I needed to go do all those shows. So I went to Interspecies and the first Pizza Party show, and that was the only two, and WrestleMania. But I really wanted to go to a lot more, but it just, time wasn't on my side.
Are you coming this year?
I plan to. I'd like to. Nice. I probably won't even go to WrestleMania. I'll probably just come do Tampa, do some indie shows, and go to Disney after while I'm down there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm getting off track here. So you decide at a certain point that you said you wanted to bring it to the masses.
Yeah.
This always interests me.
Yeah, I don't think I ever knew when I thought masses what masses would be. I knew I wanted to do it, and I knew we could do something cool. And our original entry point was actually going to be through a mockumentary, and there's still plans to do this mockumentary. It was, yeah. So we were going to – I won't go too much into the story because the story is going to unfold. But we came with this idea for a mockumentary, and we were going to kind of allow it to create all of these crazy characters, and we were going to, you know, sort of post it on YouTube and do – you know, I don't want to say anything like being the Elite, because it would have been more like a Parks and Rec or The Office or What We Do in the Shadows than it would have been
Speak my language.
Yeah, it would have been a little more out there call a lot of, you know, like poked a lot of fun at wrestling tropes, and I hope we can do it. It's something I still really want to do and get off the ground, but that was the original entry point. And then Mania was going to be here, and oddly enough, I was watching tickets sell out to things, and I was like, okay, wait a second. There's going to be 80,000 people in New Jersey.
Or we like don't need 280,000 people in New Jersey.
Yeah, or just for wrestling that weekend.
Yeah.
I said, might as well, you know, we don't need all of them, but if some of them come watch some crazy shit that we put together, let's just see what happens. And we waffled with the idea for a few months, and I reached out to Makabe because he was going to be here, and then we reached out to Fred Yehi, and we had that match, and then we kind of put a whole show together around that match. And we really, as every step happened, didn't know where it was going to go. And then it got to a point where it sort of exploded, and like, I didn't think there would have been any real buzz about it, but I guess there was, and it was crazy. It really still to this day, I can't believe that we did what we did that weekend.
Yeah. Fred and Dan was the selling point to me, and you're telling me they were your building block there basically there as well.
Yeah. It was always sort of, okay, this is probably what people will come watch, and we could probably throw some other stuff at them. And then when we actually announced the show, we'd only really like there, we had things booked, but so many people came out of the woodwork and wanted to be part of the show. And we were like, we'd be fools to turn this down. Like, this is like, nobody sort of gets this kind of reaction about a first show. So we really sat down, thought about what we could add to it, and we ended up with what we ended up with. But it was like we were going through my apartment the other day, and we saw a piece of paper that had what like the original card would have been, and it was so far from where we ended up. But I'm so happy we ended up with what we ended up with.
No, you had some crazy talent on that show. I mean, Robbie Eagles is in the Bullet Club. Alex Zane is blowing up everywhere. Shotzi Blackheart, I saw this weekend. She's like, I mean, she's everywhere. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jay Freddie's on Beyond all over the place. Rory Gulak's on Bloodsport. I'm forgetting a million guys, basically, but I had a damn good time at that show, and I actually changed my travel plans just so I could make that show, and I know a lot of other people did as well, because we saw the talent on that show, we saw the names, and you seem like a damn likable guy, and we wanted to support you, and we're like, you know, we're going to go up on Wednesday as opposed to going up on Thursday.
See, I didn't realize that. That, like, warms my heart so much, I couldn't even, yeah, that's insane. Thank you for doing that, because I think you guys being there helped make it even, like, I think the crowd we had that night was so special. We had a guy from New Japan staff there who walked up to me and was like, yeah, I work for New Japan. You're the promoter? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, this is fun. And then sat down and watched him wrestling. And it was real weird.
No, I was sitting there with Pete. And obviously, you've talked to Pete.
Yep.
And me and Pete changed our plans. I came up with Dylan and Matt Griffin. And we all changed our plans. And Jaden Newman. And yep. We're like, no, we want to go to this pizza party show. It's Wednesday. You know, let's try to get another day off from work. You know, start Mania weekend a day early. Like, we were pissed off that we were in traffic, you know, because we wanted to be at the venue even earlier. But Jersey traffic, I mean, you know, yeah. What are you going to do?
Especially up there. That's the one part about that venue, that the getting it there is like pretty much like going to the George Washington Bridge, which is always a nightmare.
Oh, I avoided that, but it was just like, it took us about, it should have been 12 hours and it took us 14. And those last 2 hours were agony. Because we weren't moving. Oh, damn it. But we just really wanted to get there because we just... The card was fantastic and the show was fantastic.
Thank you.
We had an absolute blast. Two of my top five matches from Mania Weekend were on that card. And I saw a damn lot of wrestling that week. So, put that in your cap because those were unbelievable.
Thank you. Yeah. And I said to now AEW ref Aubrey Edwards in the middle of like, it had to be like the third or fourth match. I whispered to her, I was like, it shouldn't be this much fun. And she said, nope, it is. And that's why everybody does it, because it's this much fun. That's why, yeah. And so yeah, I've had a blast doing it. This has been, the whole ride so far has been surreal, but it's just so cool to be able to, like, to be afforded the opportunity to think about wrestling as much as I get to think about wrestling now. Like, it's not crazy anymore. It's Like, I have a reason to think this much about wrestling.
Talk about how you pick your talent, too, because obviously you said, you know, Fred Yehi and Dan Maccabi were your cornerstones there. But you had, and then you said a lot of people reached out to you, but you wanted to make a point to get your backyard people on the show as well and show them off to the world.
Yeah.
So talk about that decision and talk about how you sprinkled them in, because this was some creative booking.
Thank you. Yeah, it was creative. I appreciate that. We knew when we started putting the show together in like December, sort of what we wanted to do and who we wanted to showcase. And basically, a lot of the guys you see that are from the yard are guys that, and there's more of them out there too. These are just the ones I was able to get my hands on at this time. But they're the guys who I always knew could do something special or offered something unique that I knew hadn't been seen in wrestling before. And I didn't want somebody to like find one of the videos and do their finisher. And, you know, nobody owns their finisher, but I wanted like, you know, that person who came up with it and did it to have that moment, even if they wrestle three matches for us and that's it, they decide they don't want to do it anymore. Just to give them that opportunity to say that, hey, I got to do it, and I get to do it in front of people who like paid to see it, and I got to really show why I love wrestling. And so that's part of it. But the other thing is, we kind of look for a balance. Like, I think a lot of times what a wrestling fan doesn't consider is the balance with putting together a show, is that you can have like 50 guys who all do 630s, but then, you know, the guy who it sort of waters it down for everybody else. So we wanted to make sure that everybody we used on that first show had a chance to show off what they did, and it wasn't watered down, or it wasn't, you didn't see it six times on the show. We really thought about what everybody brought to the table, and we wanted to make sure that it got over the way it did.
I mean, because like one of my favorite things in wrestling is that feeling of discovery, is that feeling where like I'm like, I see someone that I haven't seen before, and it's just like, wow, this guy can do things. Like, and one guy in your show that, and just because the name is so memorable, is this guy you brought out called Tyrannosaurus Flex, and he's like 6'8" and jacked to the gills, and like could move and could work. And I'm just like, how the fuck has no one ever talked about this guy before? I want to know everything about him. This guy's amazing. Because I have a thing for big hosses anyways. But like, this guy's a big fucking hoss, and he can do all sorts of stuff, and this is amazing. And no one knew him from Adam. But it's just like, I need to know everything about this human being. It's just like, and you afforded me, you know, there were five or six guys on the show, which just like, I don't know anything about this human being. I want to know more. And with a lot of it, especially at Mania Weekend, where you're seeing the same 50, 60 guys being recycled, your show at least afforded an opportunity to see people who otherwise aren't being seen. And there's, you know, it's independent wrestling is running a lot of needs to break out new stars, needs to break out new people, and is recycling a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there needs to be room for new people, and for people to grow and to be discovered, and you're doing that.
Yeah, it's cool that it's taken, like, because I think it's very easy with wrestling. I went to watch Tony Deppen wrestle Janela that first time at CZW, like, almost three years ago now, and Tony came out, and he was new, and, you know, they didn't take well to him, and he got a roll of toilet paper thrown at his face, and he threw it right back at the guy. And, you know, Tony went in there and he blew the house down, and by the end of it, they're all chanting Tony. And I was expecting a lot more of that when we started, but fortunately, like, I guess, you know, either these guys are as interesting as I thought they were, or these, you know, we just have a really good group of people coming to watch the shows that are willing to give us a chance. But I hope it's the former. But I just think it's really cool to, like, to see a guy like Oswald Project who can join
the
Twitter,
other guy, yeah,
and everybody, you know, there's a group of people, and you know, a couple people within wrestling have talked to me about him, and it's really cool to see that guy would have never taken the chance, but he's, you know, we gave him the platform, and he's now really getting to show his stuff. It's really, I'm like so humbled that people are watching him and taking to him.
And are you seeing your guys getting bookings too?
Like other
places? That has to be the best feeling.
That is too. Somebody got booked the other day, and they messaged me and said, "Hey, is it okay?" And I was like, "Well, you don't have to ask permission. Go out there and do your thing. That's you know, you didn't sign a contract with me. You can go do whatever you want." Like, but and I'm so pumped. Like, I make sure to let them know. Like, I want you guys to go wrestle everywhere.
Yeah, that has to be just an amazing feeling. Just like, oh, cool. Like, you're growing. You're expanding. That's such a cool feeling.
It's even crazier that, like, when people talk about Alex now, you see them mention, "Oh, I saw your match with Robbie Eagles at Pizza Party, and now you're here." And it's like, it's crazy that, like, when Alex Zane hit that 630 at the Backyard Wrestling Show, that, like, our feed was going, because I was like, he's not a Pizza Party guy, you know, he's a guy that we know, he's a friend, but, like, he wrestles everywhere.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's crazy to even that, like, right now, and you look at SEI, that you see that Makabe and Deppin and Zane were, like, the three names that all over Twitter that you saw that weekend. It was like, man, like, a year ago you could not have believed that this would have happened. And but they, you know, I always thought these guys deserved it, but it's crazy that we're here now and this is what wrestling is. It's really exciting.
That's such a cool feeling. And then so you. Your first show was a success. I mean, and you know, obviously, because, you know, you and also it's, it has to be just because I have to mention this. You know, you kind of offhandedly said, "Oh, there's all these people coming in for Mania weekend and stuff like that." But I mean, that takes balls to run Mania week against literally the top promotions in the world. I mean, everyone's running Mania week, and you decide to kick off the damn week. That's bold. That's very bold to run your first show ever WrestleMania week. You should be given lots of credit for that.
Thanks. it was crazy. And especially because as we did it, you know, like I work in social media. Like I'm always vanity searching or Google searching things just to see how much of an impression, like, we really made. And to see, like, our name on the top of the CBS Sports, like, WrestleMania week preview, and, you know, nobody wrote anything about, but just our name was at the top of the thing, and just to be listed in a table with all those companies that I've watched and paid, you know, a ton of money to go, you know, like, for either, you know, like, a New Japan World subscription, or I watch so many GCW pay-per-views, and to just be listed on the same website as them in the same breath, it's still crazy to even be here.
So you ran a second show,
yes.
And talk a little bit about how your last show went and how you're kind of leaning up to your third show.
So the first show we were fortunate enough to have Matt Griffin sort of help me work through a lot of the production stuff. So I took a lot of what Matt taught me going into the second show, and the second show, we always knew it was going to be a little harder to draw because a lot of the people that came in for that first show were from all over the place. Like, I had a guy tell me at the first show, he was from Vegas. He was like, "If I lived closer, I'd come to every show."
Oh, I'm the same way. It's many weeks, such an anomaly. Like, and I wish I could be at every show, and I want to come up there, but it's just so, the distance is so prohibitive. But I want to support you so bad, but you live 14 hours away. Yeah, I will definitely watch on IWTV and a half.
Yeah. So the second show, there was, I think, a bigger learning curve because there wasn't WrestleMania week to leverage. So it was just different. It was a very different experience. And I think I didn't prepare myself enough for it. I'm still happy with how the show came out, but, like, we wrapped on show two and immediately we're like, okay, like, now we know for show three. And it's all part of growing. Like, we tell ourselves, you know, every week in our sort of creative thread that we have going, we talk about how you're like, okay, this we should have done this better, but we're learning from it. But with Camp Moonsault, I'm really happy with how it came out. We sort of got to keep the theme going of like sort of crazy yard interactions. We had Craig Mitchell and Matt Nixon in there, and that was really cool to be able to, like, bring them in as part of it. And we had all of the Kentucky guys who were part of that original NYE and Brad Alex and Matthew Alon. And so it was cool like to just sort of have that crossover affair with everybody. And we've got to bring in guys like O'Shea and Still Life and Sean Henderson. So it was cool to like just continue.
It's really show 1A, honestly. I mean, if you think about it, you know. It's really your kind of your true launch as a promotion.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we can really do as a promotion. You know, that was our all-star game. Now look at what we can do when it's just us.
Yeah, and it was a fun show, and even, you know, less people in the building, and it's always a thing you worry about. Like, I think when you spend as much time like on an idea, you're like, oh man, are they really going to enjoy what you put on? You're in the back of your mind, there's always a doubt. Are they really going to like this? And the minute, you know, the dark match started to the minute the show ended, people were on their feet having a good time. And that's a very cool thing to see. It's awesome to watch people come to a wrestling show and want to have fun. I think when you watch WWE, you're like, these people not like fun? Like, they're coming in here and just being upset the whole time. So, like, when you kind of get that expectation, like, oh, man, if we just do one thing wrong, they'll all go. But it's really... That's, I think, the coolest thing about independent wrestling is that people are paying money and they want to have fun watching wrestling. And to see that they're paying money to come and having fun at our shows is amazing.
And do you think your crowd sort of knows too, you know, this is a promotion getting off the ground, we're going to let them work out the kinks a little bit, or are they demanding, you know, how was that crowd? Because I can see it on IWTV, but, you know, how was the vibe in the building?
It was... People were we actually the sound blew out at one point during the show, and everybody sort of stayed with us and understood. It was just we were working in an old building and the sound shit out, and in the middle, like, it was the second to last match on the show, and the sound shit out, and we tried to get it back on for a minute and a half, and then I said, fuck it, I'll just project my voice and I think it was actually louder than the PA system when I projected the voice. So, but I think people are definitely willing to accept what it is. Especially, I was worried that people would be a little upset after we ran the sort of all-star show and came back and didn't bring as many names. But, you know, fortunately, everybody who was there had a great time. And I try to do my best and really talk to people who are sitting there as I'm watching the show with them, as I, like, once I roll out of the ring and I make sure that everything is good, you know, like behind the scenes is rolling well, I'll stand out there and watch the match, and I'll pace around and I'll just sort of talk to people while they're watching it, because I want to just make sure that everybody's having a good time, and you know, everybody seems like they're enjoying it. So it's good that they're willing to give us a chance, but it's also good that they're like seem to be genuinely enjoying it.
So you have a show coming up at the end of September.
Yes.
Talk about your planning going into this show. What have you learned from your first two shows going in? What names are you bringing in? How have you course corrected, and how have you stayed the course?
I think so. For course correction, if we can start with all the boring stuff first. With course correction, we just made sure that we were on the ball with everything. I think a lot of stuff. The lat with Camp Moonsault kind of went down to the wire for us. And it was just a matter of just like, oh, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And, you know, this time out, a lot of those things were sorted as soon as they could be sorted. Even with, you know, like we're bringing in more merch this show. We're bringing on
dope, by the way.
Thank you. We had it made as our, it's been on Pro Wrestling Tees forever, but we thought more people would go towards the other one since it had the date on it. So we have those. We printed those first at the first show, and now we have these. And I think people are gonna hopefully buy them up. I love it. I can't wait for mine to come in, because I'll be rocking it all the time. But yeah, so like just those, like those production things. And I think one thing that we really been working on is communicating with the whole team. There's a lot of I think sometimes as the ring announcer and promoter, there's a lot of things I know that are gonna happen that when I get put in the ring, not necessarily everybody else around might not know it as well as I do. So I'm making sure that everybody on the team kind of knows all the beats of the show, so that when it comes, you know, if I'm doing commentary, if I'm doing this, if I'm doing that, that everybody else on the team is ready to step in and fill holes if there's a hole.
Go ahead. So what have you kind of kept you know, would have kind of kept the same, even from one and two?
From one and two, definitely the balance of show. We want that to sort of be our thing. We want to make sure there's something for everybody on every show, and that's sort of what we've been hoping to keep in as a main theme of every show. With this show, we're continuing to bring in some pretty cool people. I mean, it's an honor that Mike Quackenbush wants to be part of Pizza Party Wrestling, especially at only our third show. So he's sort of the big anchor of this next show, and we reached out to him at around the time he started his 25th year celebration, and we were lucky enough to work something out. And it wasn't supposed to be at the Wrestle Factory originally, but things sort of worked itself out that way, and it's even crazier that we're going to be running out of the Wrestle Factory for our third show, but I'm really excited to do it, and I think a lot of people are going to come in, and it's going to be like a really, really fun time. I'm really excited about Cabana Man Dan and KTB. I think that match is probably going to be unlike anything that we've seen from either of them. I think it's just going to be a very different match, and I'm excited that we're the first people that got to put that together.
You're going to love Cabana Man Dan. You're absolutely going to love Cabana Man Dan. He's a joy both in and out of the ring. He's a quality human being, and he is among the five most entertaining wrestlers on the independent scene right now. He's just a gem.
Good to know. He's an absolute gem. We'll be hanging out with him for a few days, so that's
we'll go
exciting.
Match by match. I just want to take a break for 1 second here and just do the Place to Be Nation break here. On the Place to Be Nation pop feed, the hard-traveling fanboys welcome WWE SmackDown Jason Ayers for a new series called Secret Origins. Jason delves into the similarities between comic books and wrestling, and he explains the stories and characters that made him a lifetime comic fan. On DC4U, Russell and Todd dive into what's going on in DC Comics right now and their monthly current events and read listener picks for the best Justice League Unlimited episodes on the show's 15th anniversary. On the inaugural sports edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, Andy is joined by the Cowboy, Roger Morissette, Scott Criscolo, and Peter Winston to look forward and preview the upcoming NFL season and look back and analyze the most recent seasons of the NBA and NHL. The Year in Pop returns with Andy and Scott being joined by George Rubinello and J.R. Sidney D'Amato with news and sports from the year 1977. Our new Sunday Groove, David and guest Andy Helene discuss their personal Desert Island discs. Our new Marvel Age, our favorite Sarcastic Four take a concentrated look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output from 72. The greatest song of the 80 tournament continues. There'll be four polls a day, podcast for round three. Posted for round three. You can get in the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament, liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. On the Place to Be podcast, Scott and Peter Winston look at the last Saturday night's main event from 89. I welcome Tank on the 20th episode of Row 1, Seat 1. And on episode 3 of Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT D'Amato and Jenny run down the entire month of ECW Hardcore following the night the line was crossed. On PlacementNation.com, PTBN's tribute to 94 continues to roll on with lots of great content. Every Wednesday, we have Glenn's Weekly Walk. And check our social media pages and message board at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get in the conversation today and start researching your list. Now, Dan, what matches do we have coming up on the 28th for people who are in the area and are thinking of going to this show?
I just want to say, the way you read through that, man, you could read legal disclaimers at the end of commercials.
I'm like the Micro Machines guy, man. You know.
Yeah. So let's see. I don't know if we should start at the end or the beginning. I guess we'll start based on memory.
Build up like a card, man.
All right. So opening the show, we have Sean Henderson. He was originally scheduled to face Bullet Joe, but due to some complications, that match is actually going to be a little bit different. Sean Henderson will be in action. I won't say who against yet, as we're working into that. But we were tremendously happy with Sean Henderson on our last show. He came in and worked Still Life with Apricots and Pears in a sort of an arts and crafts themed match at our summer camp show. And
as one does,
And Sean Henderson is just the absolute most lovely human being. Really, really great guy. And you know, has a lot of upside, so we're excited to sort of help show him to the world as well. He's one of those, you know, he's a Matt Tremont student. He works regularly at H2O, and he seems like he's going to become an interspecies regular. But I think he's a really great guy who deserves a platform right now. So definitely, what we're going to do there, I hope everybody is excited about. Then we have the Atlantic City Scoundrels, sort of the top dogs in Pizza Party Wrestling's tag team division, versus a newer team in the Midnight Coal Company.
These guys entertain the heck out of me.
Those you enjoyed that that train time promo?
Oh, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it.
Yeah, we as a little behind the scenes note there. We during if you watch Camp Moonsault, you might have seen this during Brad Rush versus Alex Zane, which you should definitely check out because it's a really fun match. Brad Rush locked in this sort of leg lock on Alex Zane and had him in the middle of the ring, and Alex was reaching for the ropes, and we had a timekeeper who had a little too much to drink, not affiliated with Pizza Party in any way either, not sure how he got the ring bell, but he rang the ring bell early and kind of took the wind out of the sails of that match going into the finish. But it was still a great match, but we decided it would be cool to not take that moment lying down, and we came up with a really cool promo that I think introduced the team quite nicely.
The promo was great, and Brad Rush is a gem as far as promos too.
He's a lot of fun, and I hope as he continues to get more matches under his belt, people can see that he's a really good performer.
Now, what do you got next?
Next, we would have
Molly McCoy
versus Ava Everett. Yeah, that would be next. Two newer wrestlers. It's actually the first ever women's match in Pizza Party. We've done a lot of intergender, but with a show, we thought it'd be fun. They're, you know, the two young ladies who
Everett's Platinum Honey, right?
Yeah, she's a Platinum Honey, and Molly McCoy is newer to Chikara. She's been training there for a while, but she's sort of, you know, picking up some steam, and it's I think this will be a cool match to look back on in a few years to see where these two end, like watch as they grow, to be able to look back and see that it's cool that they met here for the first time.
And then next I see on here you have Anthony Green and Alex Zane. Have they wrestled before?
They have not. Well, I guess technically they were in the Feast ladder match at American Rana. So I don't know how much they locked horns,
yeah,
but they were in that multi-person match together. Really excited about this because it's two guys who are really – their stock is really rising right now. I mean, Green just came off wrestling on the WWE Network, and Alex has become, you know, almost GCW's favorite son. So it'll be a really cool, different match to putting these two guys together, and as their both careers are really taking off.
And then I see a match here with a lot of guys that seem like your guys. Demorest, Oswald Project, Sonny DeFarge, and Matt Vertigo, who really impressed me at your first show.
Yeah.
Talk about some of these guys.
So with this, again, Oswald Project has been he's an incredibly talented petri dish of a human being. For those of you who don't know his backstory, he was he was created in a lab in Wyoming in a petri dish, and is insanely flexible to a point which it almost seems unhuman. And he's done some really impressive stuff in his first two matches.
I love this.
Yeah, he's really even, you know, I've seen him do some crazy things, but that moonsault. That standing moonsault, handspring, whatever, I don't even know what you'd call it, he did last show, like, jaw was on the floor, I dropped my mic, like, the whole thing, like, lost my, he's just incredible. And if you've never seen E.M. Demorest in action, he does some crazy explosive offense and is capable of some, whereas Oswald is incapable of flexibility, he's got strength on his side. I've seen him lift three people up and do like a triple F5 before, so he is an animal. And then Matt Vertigo is, he's somebody that I think with the more matches he continues to have, like on an IWTV, and the more people get eyes on him, he will really, he's a tremendous performer, and he's very good, and he's only getting better every match. So he's somebody you should definitely look out for. And that's not to say Sonny DeFarge in this match, I'm really excited to see how he meshes with them. He's a Chikara mainstay. He's normally performs in the tag team division, so not usually used to seeing him in a four-way, but I know that with those three guys, I think those four guys are all going to mesh to do some really incredible stuff, and I think people should definitely pay attention to that one.
And then we talked about Cabana Mandate and KTB. What a matchup. Just That's one you're going to want to watch, most definitely.
It's something that, like, when with the first Pizza Party show, you sort of knew exactly what Makabe Yehi was going to be, but it still blew your mind. This, I think I have no idea what it's going to be, but I know it's going to blow my mind.
And then your main is a six-man, Quackenbush, Danger Hawk and Boomer Hatfield versus Royally Gulak, Hella Wicked, and Cornelius Crumbles. That looks like a Chikara special, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah, we really wanted to get, when we found out that Rory and Quack had never locked up, we decided it was something we really wanted to see happen, and we thought Team Gulak versus Team Quack would be a cool way to do it, because there's some other Chikara guys that just are very talented. Boomer, you know, Crumbles and Danger Hawk all are, you know, they're newer, but they're all, they all bring a lot to the table, and it'll be a cool platform match for all of them. And Hella Wicked is Hella Wicked, and we knew we couldn't run a show at the Wrestle Factory and with Mike Quackenbush without having Hella Wicked as part of it. So we had to. So it's, you know, it's sort of a, it's got a little bit of everything for Chikara fans, and, you know, for Pizza Party fans as well. So it's going to be a cool, I think, homage to Mike Quackenbush with that one.
Now, so you, it looks like a six match card, or am I leaving anything out here?
There's going to be eight matches. There's one match we have not announced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, I think we got all of them that we talked. Let me, I have the card right here because it's. No, we went through all of them.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, because the Sean Henderson match has
Sean
been
Henderson match, that one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's all seven. There is an eighth one on the way. We've sort of alluded to it right now. With Van Valley, he turned on Camp Moonsault last show.
The guy's a beast.
Yeah, we're trying to get our comeuppance on him. There's a bounty on his head, and if we're lucky by the end of grapple picking, he'll have paid up on that bounty, or somebody will. We'll cash in on that bounty, and we'll get our revenge on losing Camp Moonsault.
Well, one last question for you, because everyone who's asked me about Pizza Party Wrestling asks me, and I'm sure asks you, the pizza. It's so damn good, and I'm not even a person who loves pizza, but it's so damn good. Is it a secret where you get it from, or is it a pizza place you want to plug?
We actually just sort of go with a different local place every time.
Okay.
We do it. Yeah, we find a local place that is good and sort of popular within that area, and we give it some love by having it at our show. So with Philadelphia, I still have to hone in on where it's going to be from. If you've got suggestions, people in Philadelphia, I'd love to hear them, because we still have a few weeks to put that all together. That's usually like one of the last things we do. We want to make sure that we pick the best pizza and we get the right amount of pizza for everybody that's going to be there.
Well, Dan, I appreciate it, my friend. So you want to plug the show one last time, plug your social media.
Sure.
Just anything else you want to get out there.
Okay, cool. So September 28th, Philadelphia, the Wrestle Factory, pizza party's going grapple picking. Wear flannel for sure. Flannel optional, but still wear it.
Optional but mandatory.
Yeah, optional but mandatory.
It'll be like grunge show in 1991.
Yeah, with last show we tried to get everybody to wear tie-dye, but we messaged it a little too late. So now you've got 25 days to go get your flannels. You can get tickets online at bit.ly/grapplepicking, capital G and capital P, initial caps.
Or just go to your Twitter page.
Yeah, you can go to our Twitter page. It's at Pizza Wrestling. We're on Facebook at Pizza Party Wrestling. And you can follow us on Instagram at Pizza Party Pro. We used to be Pizza Party Wrestling, but Instagram thought we were robots and they stole our account and they won't give it back. They actually stopped answering my emails. So Instagram's pretty much dead to me.
Well, Dan, I appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
You're a good guy. We're all rooting for you. We get some good cards coming up. You got a hell of a wonderful promotion that you've started up, and we're just rooting for the best for you, my friend.
Thank you. Before I go, is there any theme from Pizza Party you'd like to see within the next 365 days?
I've told this to every promoter I've talked to, and it fits nothing whatsoever in your motif whatsoever, but I want someone to run a show called Free Bobby Brown.
I will talk to the team and we'll see if there's a way we can incorporate a pizza party around.
And you'll roundly reject it. I understand. I get it. I'm offering a crisp $50 bill to anyone who runs a show called Free Bobby Brown.
I'll pitch that. I'm telling you, the pizza party HBIC will turn it down. But we'll flip. Everybody, go follow her on Twitter at pizza party HBIC. She just joined Twitter and she does. If I have to say one more thank you or plug, it's to her. She puts up with so much of my shit while we put these shows together, and she listens to hours on end about me talk about pro wrestling. She does a great job with the themes, you know, party hats and streamers and balloons and macaroni necklaces and all that shit. So she's incredible. So go give her a follow too.
Yeah, you guys had party hats. You guys had, I mean, it was a true party atmosphere.
I didn't think people were going to wear them, but it was like, let's just give them the option. And everybody had their hat on it. That was so fucking cool.
I wore a hat on top of my hat. It was that in the thing.
It's awesome.
It was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. You guys put on a fun show. Well, Dan, thank you so much. You're a true friend, and we'll definitely, if I don't get up there, we will hopefully see you at Mania Weekend.
That would be incredible. I hope that happens, but that's up to the WrestleMania Weekend gods to decide that one.
Definitely. All right, my friend. I'll see you soon.
See ya.